The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
And those are normal, that's normal in our society today. So young men, you're going to have to decide to be a lot different than what you see all around you. And you're going to see three this morning, three identifying, well, as I said last time, what the Scripture is going to do for us, we're going to look through these two verses, what the Scripture is going to do for us is it's going to tell us how to be a man of God. And then it's going to tell us what we need to do, and then it's going to tell us how we need to do it. That's what I should say. So first of all, let's turn over in our notes today, and let's look at what the Bible says here about the duties of the man of God. And I think you could find them. It's just naturally here. I didn't force these points on the text. You look at it in verse number 11, and you'll see it. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Verse number 12, fight the good fight of faith. You see three really easy points right here that are three commands, easy for us to understand, and they all start with the letter F. And what are they? The first one that you see in verse number 11 is a man of God is called to what? Oh, it's in verse number 11. You just started at the very beginning. I'm going to make sure you're with me this morning. They all start with F. The first thing a man of God is called to do is what? Is flee. The second thing he's called to do is what? Is follow. And then thirdly, the final thing that he's called to do, you'll see it in verse number 12, and that is what? And that is fight. Flee. Follow, fight. Can you say those with me this morning? Ready? Flee, follow, fight. That's what a man of God is called to do. Now, first of all, we talked about being manly men, but here we're told to do what? Flee! Flee! Well, boy, that does not sound like the most manly of endeavors, does it? Flee! In other words, run away! Run away! It's like the little boy that gets all courageous. Yeah, I'm going to go do that. And then we sent our two kids. We were at a baseball game yesterday, and they wanted to get a freeze pop from the concession stand. So Deb and I were like, okay, here you go. Here's a dollar. Go get it. Right? And so it's Nehemiah and Anna Joy, and they're both kind of like pushing each other along as they both go up there. All right? You know, have you been there? You're like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And then, whoa. That's not the kind of flee we're talking about. But you've got to believe that if you're going to live a life, young man, old man, any man, mom, aunt, grandma who's helping to teach young men, there are some things in life that a man has to understand that he has got to run away from. There are some things in life that a man who's going to be a man has to run away from some things. I thought about that. In this passage, he's telling him specifically, and he's specifically what he's supposed to run away from is the love of money. You would have read that in the previous verses. He says that the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So he's telling them to flee that. But if you'll give me the liberty this morning, based on what we know and the knowledge of Scripture, there are many, many things that could fit into that category of things that a man of God needs to learn to run away from. And when you think about that, run away! Run away! There's a sense of urgency there, isn't there? Is there not? I mean, a sense of urgency. This isn't like play close to the edge. This isn't like, well, let's kind of come to a compromise. Well, let's just kind of moderate this behavior in our life. Let's just kind of back off a little bit. That's not what it's saying. It's saying you get up and you run as far and as fast as you can. The classic example of this in the Scripture, go back to the book of Genesis. Who can tell me who's the classic example of a man of God who knew when to run? You know it. Somebody knows it. Go ahead, say it. Joseph. Joseph, if you don't know the story, bad news ladies got her eyes on Joseph. And she grabs a hold of him, and he's like, I am out of here. And he took off as fast as he could, and he ran. He learned to run. And that's a picture, I think of that, and it's amazing that as a little child learning that story, whenever I read a passage like this, that my mind always goes back to that man who's an example of what a godly man can do. Let me give you a few things to think about. What are we supposed to run away from? I'd encourage you to run away from things that control you. Right? Run away from things that control you. In this passage of Scripture, he talks about greed. Greed is something that will control you, isn't it? Greed will grab a hold of a person, will not let them go. And you do not have to be a wealthy person to be a greedy person. Did you catch that? You do not have to be a wealthy person to be a greedy person. Run away. Unfortunately, what happens often is that, and look at your own life and look at the lives of those you've seen that you see around you, often, instead of running away from these things, what do we find ourselves doing? Running towards them. Things that control you. Money. Status. Lust. Drink. Be not filled with wine. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. You know, I just believe there are things that the Word of God teaches we ought to run as far away from as we can. I honestly do not understand. I honestly do not understand why a man of God would have alcohol in his home. I don't understand that. I don't get it. You might say, you know what? Well, you know, I just have a beer every now and then. And I know believers who have that attitude. I'll just have a beer now and then. I'll just have a glass of wine every now and then. I'll just do this. But there are some things in life you ought to just run as far away as you can from. And that's from something that can control you and grab a hold of you. Your children will never see you intoxicated if you don't have a beer in the fridge. Your children will never see you drunk if you don't have a bottle of wine in the closet. You say, well, I can control that. Be careful or it may control you. Right? You say, oh, this is a Baptist church. Yeah, right? Run away from things that control you. I just don't understand the discussion that people have. Well, you look at this verse, or you look at that verse, or you examine this, or you examine that. Paul said, all things are lawful to me, all things are not expedient, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I want nothing in my life that is going to grab a hold of me. Alcohol will grab a hold of, alcohol has ruined many a father. And there are young women and young men, all even in this room, that could look back and sadly look back to a father who was controlled by alcohol. Maybe you can control it, or just maybe it will control you. Some things we ought to just run away from. I mean, just run away. Pornography has a hold. And I know it's spoken about over and over and over again, but it's an epidemic in our society, and the average child is exposed to it for the first time in the fifth grade. In the fifth grade. And it grabs hold of people's lives. We had to practice, teach our young men that when you see an image, when you see something, when you see someone, you get away from that as far as you can, because it will grab a hold of you. It will control you. It's common for young teenagers to mess around with just a little bit of marijuana. After all, that's all it is. It's not like cocaine or heroin. You tell that to the people all throughout our county that are hooked on hard drugs and how it's ruined the society around us. And young men, it's not something to make jokes about. It's not something to laugh about or chuckle about or watch a funny YouTube video about. It's something to run as far as you can away from. That's part of being a man of God. You've got to learn when to run. And you run away from things that control you. Secondly, you run away from things that distract you. And then thirdly, you run away from things that will destroy you. Flee the things that control, the things that distract, and the things that destroy. You know, all of these things are not necessarily the deep, dark, evil things. But you know something? There are things that, and I'm guilty of this like many of you probably are, this is a big distraction in my life. Right? For many of us? If you're a little older and you don't have one of these, it might be a screen that's just quite a bit bigger. You might have a 55-inch or a 40-inch. It's a distraction, isn't it? These distractions. It could be a game or a sport or a hobby, but many distractions that we face, and sometimes we have to come to a point of maturity where we say, "You know what? This diversion has become a distraction, and now it's become something I'm devoted to." And then run from things that destroy you. Think about all the things that we've mentioned there and look at the notes, 2 Timothy 2:22. 2 Timothy 2:22 in your notes, it says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Interesting, that passage is almost parallel to what we read in verse number 11 in our text. Look back at the text and read that again. "But thou, O man of God," verse 11, "but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." And then look at 2 Timothy 2:22 and the notes. "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." He says to flee also from lusts, things that when we're young, our hearts lust after, we desire, the things that want to control us. He says, get as far away as you can. Why? Well, look at Proverbs chapter 9, 17 through 18. It's on the notes as well. "Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant." Secret things, hidden things, things that have crossed the line. There's an enjoyable taste. There can be fun and there can be pleasure in it. But look at verse 18. "But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell." That's not like one of those. That's not one of those like Facebook verses that you put on your wall, right? "He knoweth not that the dead are there, and her guests are in the depths of hell." That's not like one of those. That's not like one of those plaques that you put in the entrance. You know, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And then right next to it, "But he knoweth not that." That's just not going to be there. But you know what? It might be good to put on a 17-year-old's computer screen, right? It might be a good verse to put on your lock screen, young men and young women, so that when you open it up and before you get on Snapchat, that's the first thing that you see. That it might be fun, it might be pleasurable, but be aware that these things can destroy. They can destroy. Things that control, things that distract, and things that destroy. Paul said, "Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." Romans 6, 23, "For the wages of sin is what? Is death." And even for a believer, was it the Apostle John who said, "But there is a sin unto death"? I don't say that to be dark, but to give warning, because that's exactly what Paul is doing here. He's warning us. These aren't things to compromise with or to flirt with or to play around with. These are things to run as far away as we possibly can. As far away as we possibly can. But he doesn't just call us to run away from things. In the verse, the second part of the verse, he then calls us, point number two, he says to follow. Right? We're called to flee, and then we're called to follow. "Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Again, you could think of this as, "Well, I'm going to be a man, and I'm going to be independent, and I'm not going to follow anybody." People have that attitude sometimes, don't they? Well, we're called to follow Christ, and that's part of what this means. But the phrase "follow after" here, you should really think of it more in military terms, like it's being discussed. In a minute, we're going to talk about. It's a very militaristic passage. Flee, follow, fight. Well, how is following? Is it following orders? Well, that'll be involved, but that's not what it means. Follow after literally means what? Do you know? It means to chase. It means chase. It means go get them. It's like a bird dog when you say sick 'em or whatever command it is you give to that dog. And he is just going to chase, and he's going to run, and he's not stopping until you call him off. the chase. That's what this means, follow after. It's like a soldier in battle as they've got the enemy on the run, and then the commanding officer says, follow after them, pursue them, chase them. Do you realize this morning that in life, especially men, we're always chasing something? We realize that this morning? We're always chasing something. And as I kind of mentioned before, we talk about running, and sometimes instead of running away from things, we run toward them. And that confusion is demonstrated here. Sometimes in life, we can be chasing after the wrong things and running from the right things. Or we should flip that around and say, our goal, I always have a hard time saying this, our goal should be then to run away from the wrong things and chase after the right things. But from the time we're little boys, and yes, and even little girls, we chase things. You see kids playing tag, right? Just running and chasing. You see kids out chasing after, if you grew up in the country like some kids here did, and you're chasing after maybe frogs or snakes, or you're just going to catch it. You want to catch something. You're after something. What are you going to do with it when you catch it? I don't know. I see, my kids, we found a snake the other day, and everybody's trying to follow the snake, going after the snake, and then we caught the snake. They didn't want anything to do with it once we caught it, but they wanted to chase after it and find it. We chase after things. My son's playing Little League, and he's in the championship series today, by the way. Big hit yesterday. He's first year in minor league, not Little League, but minor league. And they've got this thing, you don't want it, you can't, when it's time for the teams to swap on and off the field, you don't want to be the last one in, right? And he's in right field. So he's got the longest to run. But, the kids chase each other because we're always chasing something. But those things that we chase as boys, if we don't learn to chase after godly things, we will chase after worldly things for the rest of our lives. And men will chase after money, chase after a job promotion, chase after a boat, chase after a membership in some group, chase after this, chase after that, chase after all kinds of things. So the question then is not, well, let me back up. If a man is not chasing after something, there's something wrong. He's been emasculated if he's not chasing after something. And that's another epidemic in our society, as our society has sought to feminize boys and lose that aggressive nature. Where does that aggression come from? Is that something, if you've got a hyperactive little boy, whether grandson or nephew or one of your own children, you've got a hyperactive little boy who just can't sit still and is always getting into trouble, so to speak, where did that come from? Well, that came from the devil. No, it didn't. I believe with all my heart that God puts that in the hearts of little boys. That God puts that energy and that desire to chase and to win and to fight and to conquer and to achieve. He puts it there. And if that's gone, and he just sits home and eats potato chips and watches Netflix, he's not a man anymore. So I'm just speaking then to men in here. Because if you fit that other category, well, we need to back up to step number one, but to men in here, the question is not, are you chasing something in life? The question is, what are you chasing after? Right? The question is, what are you chasing after? Are you chasing after things that God says, run away from? But I'd like to give you another, a final question under this point. Not just, what are you chasing after? Because we know we're supposed to chase after God, right? He gives us the list here. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. We're supposed to pursue God, chase after God. So the question I'd like to ask then is, how passionately do you chase after God? How passionately are you pursuing God? We sing that song, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after you. Say, well, that's kind of, you know, a sensitive song. You know, as the dew, I'm going to, you're my friend, you're my brother. Can I tell you who wrote those words? It wasn't a song, it wasn't a modern songwriter who wrote those words. Do you know who wrote those words? Somebody say it. David, the warrior, the king, the giant slayer. He says, as the hart, the deer, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, and he says that his soul longs after God. He was no one will question the mighty, manly nature of God. And he would go to battle, he would pursue. In fact, they sang, David has killed his 10,000s and Saul his 1,000s. And they would talk about the mighty deeds of David, and he was such a warrior. In fact, he fought in the battles until he was too old to fight well enough. They had to say, you're not allowed to fight anymore. You might not remember the story, but that's what happened to King David. He's out there, he almost got himself killed. Oh, you whippersnappers, I can still swing the sword. Nope, go home, old man. All right, fine. And he went, and you know, he hobbled off home. He's a warrior, he's a fighter right till the end. But he was a man that pursued after God with his whole heart, didn't he? And all the beautiful psalms and the hymns written in the Old Testament, so many of them come from the heart of this man of God. And God himself said that he sought him a man after his own heart. So fathers, uncles, grandfathers, churchmen, when the boys look at us, how passionately do they see us following after God? That should convict every one of us. How passionately do they see us studying the Scripture? How passionately do they see us loving their mother? How passionately do they see us serving our church? How passionately do they see us worshiping our God? Let's just think about a couple of the things that are mentioned here. He gives us a list. He could have given us a list that's even much longer. But what's the first thing? If we're going to chase after God as men of God, what do we got to chase after first? Righteousness. Righteousness. That's God. That's biblical character. That's biblical character. Can young men and young girls look to men of God, look to us, and say, that's a man of God, that's a person who has some character in their life? Well, boy, Dad, how come we're not going there? Boy, Dad, how come we can't do this? Or how come Uncle So-and-so never goes here? How come Uncle So-and-so and Uncle So-and-so or Dad says, listen, the Bible says, the Lord said in this verse, but you know what? We may not know that verse. Because some men can quote 30 years of baseball statistics but can't find simple Bible doctrines in the pages of the Word of God. Can memorize stats and data, can understand all of the intricacies of how to build an engine or how many cc's are in a motor, and can know all this complex stuff, but don't have anything memorized but John 3:16. We need men of character, character that's based on the Word of God. And do we pursue righteousness like we pursue other things? He says righteousness. Then what's the next thing he says? Godliness. That doesn't actually mean being like God. Some people think that that's what godliness means. It doesn't mean being like God. It means living a life in reverence and worship of God. I'd have you think of the word worship. It's a common misnomer that worship takes place when we sing in church, right? But we don't believe that. That's not the worship time. We call this whole gathering a worship service, which is the more appropriate way to look at it. But really, beyond that, the time that we worship together in this gathering should flow out of a life of worship and then should continue into a life of worship. Faith. In this sense, it's the idea of being faithful, dependable. Love. Love. This is that agape love we talked about several weeks ago. A love that's self-sacrificial. Do they see us setting aside our interests, our hobbies for others? Then patience. I love to talk about patience. You forgive me if I've said this a lot, but patience isn't about waiting in line. That's not the patience that we're talking about. Okay? I'm not very good at that either, though. But waiting in line, that's not the kind of patience we're talking about. It has the idea of endurance. It literally means in the Bible to remain under, like to remain under a heavy load. When I think of this word patience, I think of toughness. Toughness. Because life is hard, isn't it? But God has created men to be tough, to bear burdens, to bear difficulties, and to be strong. And then meekness, that is the idea of self-control. Not lashing out doesn't mean weakness, but it means to live a life that's under control. So the question, what are you chasing after? And hopefully, at least at some degree in your life, you're chasing after God, but how passionately are we chasing after Him? And how passionately are we chasing after the things of God? Then thirdly, we're called to do what? You got it. We're called to fight. Fight. Now here we go. If there's one thing that my brothers and I loved to do when we were little boys, it is fight. I mean, we would fight. You know, boxing isn't the most popular sport these days, okay? And I understand that there are some excesses, but boxing is biblical, by the way. The Bible, the Apostle Paul references boxing. And the idea of fighting when we were kids, we would, I mean, it seemed like if we weren't watching people fight in a movie or on TV, we were fighting with each other. There was always something to fight about. It didn't mean we didn't like each other, we just liked to fight. And so Aaron got his head knocked against the bunk bed several times, which will explain a lot of things for those of you that have asked questions, I know. We would fight. I mean, we go at it, and there is no doubt that you got beat worse than anyone. That's pretty much unquestionable. My brother Josh, though, was the worst because me and him were always pretty close in size, and I would usually beat him when we were little, okay? But every now and then, you know, we'd be wrestling around, and he'd get really mad, and he'd get on top. And you knew at that point, it was, you talk about meekness, wasn't happening right there. I mean, the fist was just like, whoa, and you just like hope that you could survive and get out of that. That's why Aaron got the worst of it. But anyway, that we would just fight about all, and it was fun. I mean, we loved it. We fought like that up until the time that we went to college, believe it or not. I mean, my goodness, I'm a senior in college. My brother Josh is a freshman, and we're both in college, and we were roommates that year. And he, if you see him now, he's in really good shape, but his freshman year in college, he was skinny as a rail. I mean, super skinny. So he started going to the gym, right? And I was still a little bit bigger than him even then, but he started going to the gym, and he was like, all right, now we're going to do this again. Here we go. Right in the dorm room. And so, you know, I've got something to prove. He's got something to prove. But now we don't have little bodies like this. You know, we're fully grown. And I think it was about the time where I'm on top of him. He jumps up, flips around, and I land smack on my back on the concrete. I think that was about the time we both decided, maybe we better not do this anymore. Maybe this isn't the best idea. At least that's what I realized, and that was the last one. But we had fight about everything. We talked about that last week too. Was it last week? Ephesians chapter 6. Was that where we were? In fact, I put it back on there. We're not going to read it. You remember it? You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We do all that we can to stand, and we stand in the power of God. So I would say again, just like that chasing, that pursuing. Who puts that in the heart of a little boy that he wants to fight? That he wants to prove himself. Who does that? I believe with all my heart this God who puts that there. But what needs to happen is that young men and older men need to learn to fight for things that are worth fighting for. Fight for things that are worth fighting for. Marriages aren't perfect, are they? But are they worth fighting for? Yeah. Marriages are difficult sometimes, but they're worth fighting for. Family is worth fighting for. The faith is worth fighting for. The truth is worth fighting for. And I still believe that America is worth fighting for, don't you? And the heritage that we have is worth fighting for. We're called to earnestly contend for the faith. There are things that are worth fighting for. Do you know why? Do you know why we... forgive me if you heard this. You A lot of you have heard these already, but do you know why we love sports so much? I mean, how many of you love sports? And you're not going to get like ridiculed for this or anything, because it's okay, all right? We love it. It's fun. It's enjoyable. You know why I think society loves sports so much is because you can put passion, energy, fight, and enthusiasm. But then when it's all done, it was just a game. Now, it takes some of us a little bit longer to get over that and realize it was just a game. I understand that. But there are no real consequences for that. I can root for the Yankees, root for them, put my heart and soul into it, and have that adrenaline rush and that fire and that passion. But you know what? Then it's all done. It's a nice diversion. It makes me feel good. I get that adrenaline out, but it doesn't affect real life. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't enjoy that. We should, but it should cause us to think about that. And we truly live in a society where men are more passionate about the New England Patriots than their wives. Well, I think that's kind of an exaggeration. No. People will spend money on tickets, time, attention, and neglect their wives and their children. We need to fight for things that are worth fighting for. And a man is called to fight. Fight for things worth fighting for. Fight no matter the opposition. It's not easy. The whole point of fighting is that it's hard, that it's difficult, that you have an opponent, that you're going to wrestle, that you're going to engage in a conflict, that you're going to have to climb over hills and you're going to have to face oncoming bullets. The whole point of fighting is that it's difficult. And that's why he says here to be prepared for it. You can look at the Ephesians passage there. It talks about wrestling against a spiritual warfare. There will be people that ridicule you for fighting like a godly man. There will be people that come against you. There will be situations that make it extra hard. But we still are called to fight. And finally, we're called to fight with the power of God. Fight with the power of God. Time's getting away from me, so we've got to wrap it up. Fight the good fight of faith. Well, that's what we're called to do. We're called to flee. We're called to follow. We're called to fight. What motivates us? What motivates us? I thought, earlier this month, June the 6th, I got to the end of the day and all of a sudden I realized it's June the 6th. What's June the 6th? D-Day. It's D-Day. Got to the end of the day, busy day at work, and I realized, wow, there wasn't a whole lot this year because it wasn't a special anniversary, but I thought about that day, D-Day. And so that night I sat down with my kids. Deborah actually worked that night, so I sat down with the kids to tuck them in, and I said, you guys know what day it is today? And they're little. They haven't learned this in history. I said, it's D-Day. And they don't know what D-Day means. I didn't get into everything, but I talked about it. I talked about those men that got off those boats to fight. And you think about that. I can't imagine. You've seen the movies and read the accounts, but, you know, when that door, they got off that large... Those Marines got off those large ships. They went in those little boxes that were floating toward the beach. When that door dropped, many of them never even got out of the boat. They never even got out. And they fought. You see, what happens is some of these were 17-year-old kids. 18-year-old boys, 17, 18. Some older men with families at home. But what motivates a soldier? I don't pretend to know. Never been in that situation. I know what I've been told. They're motivated by love of country. They're motivated by love for one another as their brothers in arms. They're motivated for love of family back home. And I think we all think back to World War II because there was such a clear contrast of good versus evil, right? We think about what these men were willing to fight for. And as I thought about this passage, I thought, you know what had to happen? What had to happen was there had to be in their minds a change of focus. I mean, just a few years, just months before, some of these kids were, they were just kids. Thinking about whatever. And now there's a completely different focus. There's something else that motivates them in the back, in their mind. So what is it for the believer? Well, it's right here in verse number 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Read the next phrase out loud with me, if you would. We're in verse number 12. Fight the good fight of faith together. Lay hold on eternal life. What is it that motivates the man of God to fight, to flee, to follow? What is it that motivates us? It's eternal life. The passage here says, lay hold of it. Lay hold is another militaristic term. It literally means to arrest it. It's like when you watch the old movies, lay hold on him, you know? And they'll grab a hold and arrest it. And that's what he says to Timothy here. He says, Timothy, you've got to flee, you've got to follow, and you've got to fight the good fight of faith, and to do that, you've got to what? Lay hold, arrest, lay hold on eternal life. Well, wait a minute. Didn't he already have eternal life? Yes or no? Yeah, now it's your question. He already had it. And that's an important thing to understand in this passage. He had eternal life, but what he's called to do here is to completely, fully, with all of his strength and with all of his might, if you get the word picture here, he's called to take a firm hold on it, a firm grasp on it. Eternal life wasn't something just to be carted around. Oh yeah, I've got this gift from God with me. Don't you like this? No, he says, if you're going to be a man of God, you've got to, all of your life has to be consumed with understanding this amazing gift of eternal life that God has given you, and you have got to grab a hold of it. You've got to take possession of it. You've got to grasp it. It's got to motivate every part of what you're doing. Why? See, because he realizes, look what it says. He says, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also, what does it say? Well, I'm in verse 12. Whereunto thou art also what? Called. He's reminded that he can be grateful for his calling, that it's God who called him into this eternal life. It's not something, he's not saying, lay hold on it so that you don't lose it. Lay hold on it so that you earn it. He says, no, you lay hold on eternal life because that's what God's called you to. It's God that's worked in it. And then, Timothy, remember, you professed it. Remember your profession. He says, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. God's given him this wonderful, God's called him to this wonderful gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And then Timothy stood up and publicly went under the water in baptism and said, I profess my faith in Jesus Christ before many witnesses. Anybody else in here done that before? That's a picture of salvation. God's calling and my profession to faith in Jesus. And now he says, Timothy, grab a hold of that. Don't let it go. Not that you can lose it, but don't treat it carelessly. Grab a hold of it and let that motivate you to be the man of God that you're called to be, your eternal life. And what that'll do is that'll remind him that he lives for a higher purpose and he works toward a different goal. You see, man, young man, if you'll get in your mind that this whole life is going somewhere, this whole life is moving in a direction. We're not just going round and round in circles trying to get through. This whole life is moving to the day where we stand before God. We have a different purpose, and that purpose is to live for the glory of God. We have a different goal, and that goal is to fight the fight of faith so that we can stand there that day and hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's eternal life that is our motivator. I love that. I don't feel like I can even explain it properly. I think it's, to me anyway, it's one of those verses that if I'm going to be a man of God, I've got to always go back to. I haven't memorized it. I memorized it when I was in high school. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold. Like I said, I can't even explain it, but I can feel that. You know what I mean? When there's a word like that, you can. It's just lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Man, boy, How firmly are you holding on to that gift that God has given you? It's received by faith when we realize that this man is unworthy, but Jesus, the God-man, makes me worthy, and he accepts me unconditionally, and I receive that salvation. Well, if you've received it, how firmly are you holding to it? Is it enabling you to flee from those things you need to run from? To follow after the things of God and follow with your whole heart, and to fight for those things that are worth fighting for? That's my challenge to you this morning. Would you bow for prayer with me? We've asked these questions this morning, and maybe you, the Lord spoke to your heart about something, whether you're man, woman, boy, or girl. That eternal life, have you received that? Is God calling you to eternal life even now? Perhaps there's never been a moment in your life where you've called on the name of Jesus. He calls us and we respond in faith. He wants to give us that gift of eternal life. But then, and if that's you, if you've never done it, you can do that now. You can call on his name. You'll never be a man of God unless you accept his gift of salvation first. But Christian man, is that motivating you? Are you being motivated by the eternal life? Are you fully grasping it? What are you fleeing from? What are you following? What are you fighting for? We'll have a time of invitation. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. We ask that it would have spoken to our hearts and that we would respond this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.